Top 10. You will hear a talk about Japan's earliest history. No one really knows where the people of Japan came from. They are said to have come from Siberia or Korea. By the end of the 400s, most of the people of Japan had a similar culture. Most spoke the same language. The Japanese had also become different from other Asian peoples. In this early time, the Japanese developed the idea of the emperor. According to the Japanese, he was descended from the goddess of the sun. Therefore, they thought of the emperor as divine, meaning that he was like a god himself. The present emperor of Japan is the direct descendant of these early emperors. The Japanese emperors are the oldest ruling family in the world. The early Japanese also developed Shintoism. This is a religion in which many things in nature are worshipped as gods. The most important group in the society of old Japan was made up of the emperor and the nobles. These people held much of the power in the empire. The next highest group were the samurai. These were mighty warriors who defended the emperor. The sword of the samurai was the symbol of the power he received from the emperor. From about 600 to 900 AD, the Japanese tried to copy from China. The emperor, the nobles, and the people thought everything Chinese was wonderful. Japanese art became similar to Chinese art. The Japanese language was written with Chinese characters. Today, Japanese is written in a way that combines an alphabet with Chinese characters. Each of the main Japanese characters stands for one syllable, or part of a word. There are 48 of these. In addition, there are thousands of special characters, like Chinese characters. In the 500s AD, Buddhism was brought to Japan. This Indian religion came to Japan through China and Korea. Many great Buddhist temples were built in Japan. Some of these still stand.
Section 2. Test Pattern Exercises. Part A. Directions. You will hear 15 conversations or talks. While you listen, fill out the table with the information you've heard. Write only one word or number in each numbered box. You will hear the recording twice. You will be given some time to read each table before the recording begins. Number 1. You will hear a presentation about George Orwell. Today it's my turn to give the presentation. As we agreed last week, I'm going to introduce George Orwell, a famous English writer. George Orwell was born in India on 25th June 1903. But his family returned to England 4 years later. He went to school in Sussex, where he was very unhappy, and then in 1917, he entered the famous English public school, Eton. Unlike most of his contemporaries, he did not go to university after this, but joined the Indian Imperial Police in 1922 and went to Burma. He spent much of the following 3 years getting to know the poor and exploited in both London and Paris. And he also wrote articles for the newspapers and poems. All his life he hated political and social injustice, and much of his writing was concerned with this, trying to enlighten and change society through his books. In 1933, his first book, Down and Out in Paris and London, was published, about his time amongst the poor in these two places. In 1936, he married Aline O'Shaughnessy. In late that year, in July, he traveled to Spain as a war correspondent. While there, he joined the Republican side and fought for them against Franco in the Spanish Civil War. The following year, he was seriously wounded in the throat and he returned to England in July 1937. In 1938, his sixth book, Homage to Catalonia, about his time in Spain, was published. In 1940, he became a correspondent with the BBC. Immediately after the Second World War in 1945, one of his most famous books, Animal Farm, was published. He became very ill with tuberculosis in 1948, but he managed to write the book 1984, a pessimistic novel about the future. It was published a year later in 1949. He died on 23 January 1950.
Number 2. You will hear a talk about population growth in the 21st century. It will come as no surprise that the Earth is going to be a much more crowded place in the 21st century. From a global population of about 5.4 billion today, The United Nations Fund for Population Activity says we'll see a rise to 8.2 billion people in 2025. The UN expects the total population to stabilize at 11.6 billion sometime later in the 2000s. More than 90% of the population growth will occur in developing countries. 18 of the world's 20 largest cities will be in these lands as the number of urban dwellers swells from roughly 2 billion to 5.1 billion. The United States and Europe, which in 1950 accounted for 22% of the world's population, will be home to less than 9% of its people in 2025. By contrast, Africa's share of the total will climb from 9% in 1950 to nearly 20% by 2015. Ethiopia should double in size to almost 100 million people. In about the same time period, India will overtake China as the world's most populous country. For the United States, the big news won't be an abundance of new faces. Experts predict the country will grow from its present 250 million population and stabilize at about 350 million sometime before the middle of the 21st century. The important changes will be in American ethnic makeup. 20 years from now, the United States' white non-Hispanic majority will peak at 195 million and then may decline in numbers. Asian Americans will become an increasingly important minority, while African Americans, whose population growth is slowing dramatically, will become the second largest minority behind Hispanics, a half a million of whom are now thought to be emigrating to the United States legally and otherwise each year.
Number 3. You will hear a conversation in which a man is asking about apartment renting.
Good afternoon. Melrose Apartments. May I help you?
Yes. I'm interested in renting a one-bedroom apartment. Do you have any available?
No, I'm sorry. None are available this time, but I expect a vacancy in about 3 weeks. Could I interest you in a two-bedroom?
Well, you see, I'm a student. How much more would a two-bedroom apartment cost me?
The one-bedroom rents for $150 a month, and the two-bedroom is only $35 more.
Is the two-bedroom a great deal larger than the one-bedroom?
Yes, it is. Also, I might tell you that one-bedroom doesn't have a dishwasher. All of our two-bedroom apartments do.
What about signing a lease?
We do require a six-month lease, and there is a deposit of $100 in case of any damage done to the apartment.
Is there a pool?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't. We do have a recreation area and a sauna. Also, there are tennis courts close to our building.
When could I see an apartment?
How about later this afternoon? Let's see. I have an appointment at 3:30 and another one at 4. How about 4:50 this afternoon?
That would be fine. I'll pick my wife up from work and we'll come right over.
I'll be looking forward to seeing you then.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Number 4. You'll hear two college students talking about their first day on campus. Well, Mary, how does it feel on your first day on campus?
I'm a little nervous, actually. It's such a large campus, and I'm not quite sure how to get around it. How about you?
I feel the same way. That's why I think we should leave early, to get to our biology lecture on time.
That sounds like a good idea to me. Look, it's 8:15 now. When's the lecture supposed to start?
In 45 minutes. I know it's early, but better safe than sorry, I guess. We've got to go to the Bradley Building, but I'm not sure where that is.
Since neither of us seems sure how to get there, why don't we ask that man sitting over there? He looks like he may know his way around here.
All right, I'll ask him. Excuse me, could you tell us how to get to the Bradley Building? The Bradley Building? Certainly. Do you see those two buildings over there? The one on the right is the Student Union Building. The other one is the Physics Building. You have to take the path between the two buildings. When you get to the other side of the two buildings, you turn right. From there, the Bradley Building is the second building on your left. Got it?
I think so. After we get past the Physics and Student Union buildings, we go right and continue to the second building on the left. Is that right?
That's right.
Number 5. You will hear a news report. 7 backcountry skiers from a high school excursion group were killed yesterday in a half-kilometer-wide avalanche, the second deadly slide to hit east-central British Columbia in a month. ICMP
said 14 Alberta high school students were among 17 people caught in the late morning slide. Two managed to escape being buried as the wall of snow crashed down on their group. BC Ambulance Service spokesperson Bob Pierce confirmed the death. The survivors were airlifted to Glacier Park Lodge by helicopter. Two people from the group were treated for minor injuries. The dead are six boys and one girl, all in grade 10 at Strathcona Tweedsmuir School, a private 1-12 institution in a country setting in Okotoks, about 20 kilometers south of Calgary. The slide, 500 to 800 meters wide, occurred in Glacier National Park, 65 kilometers east of Revelstoke, in the Rogers Pass area known as Knock Creek. We are absolutely stricken with grief. Our hearts go out to all those who are impacted, said school head Tony McCoon. There were 17 people in the school group, 3 adults and 14 grade 10 students in an outdoor education class on their annual cross-country skip trip.
Number 6. You'll hear a talk introducing the island of Astoria.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Margaret Sales. I'm a journalist who specializes in travel. Some of you may read the travel section of the newspaper, so you know the kinds of articles I write. Anyway, I'm not here to tell you about my job. I've been invited here by the Astoria Tourism Bureau to tell you about travel to Astoria. Now, as I'm sure most of you know, Astoria is a rather large island located 1,100 kilometers from New Zealand. That's 1,100 kilometers in a northeast direction, I should say. As you can see on this map here, it's about 25% larger than New Zealand, and it has quite a different shape. While New Zealand's long and thin, Astoria has the shape of a rectangle, or almost square. Now, I guess none of you here has been to Astoria yet, so let me give you a bit of a description. Most of the people there live in the northern half of the island. This part of the island is warmer than the southern half, but it wouldn't be fair to say that the southern half is cold. In fact, the whole island is close enough to the equator, so that no matter how far south you go, you wouldn't even need a jumper to stay warm.
Number 7. You will hear a conversation about course enrollment.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello. Is this the right place for me to register to study foreign languages?
Yes, it is. May I have your name, please?
Vijay. My family name is Paresh.
Vijay Paresh. Okay. Do you have a telephone number?
Yeah. 909-2467.
Thank you. Now, which language would you like to learn? We offer French, Italian, Cantonese, Mandarin, Spanish, Portuguese.
I'd like to learn Spanish, please.
Okay. Our classes are conducted in lots of different places. We have classrooms in the city and here in this building.
What's this building called?
This is Building A.
I work near here, so it would be best to study in Building A.
What time do you want to come to lessons? They go on for 3 hours, and they start at 10 a.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
I wish I could come to the daytime lessons, but I can't. So 6 p.m. would, please.
That's our most popular time, of course. Have you ever studied Spanish before?
No, I haven't.
We describe our classes by level and number. Your class is called Elementary 1.
Okay. When will classes start?
Elementary 1 begins, just a minute, it begins on August 30th.
Great. Now, what else do I have to do?
Number 8. You'll hear a conversation between two students.
Hi, Tim.
Jane.
How are you?
Fine.
I've been wondering when I'd run into you. Have you been here long?
I arrived yesterday, on Sunday. How about you?
I got here a few days ago, on Saturday. No, wait a minute, what's today? Oh, sorry, Friday, not Saturday.
But we didn't have to be here till today.
Yes, I know, but I wanted to get my things moved into my room and just take a look around. So, did you decide to do English in the end?
No, I changed my mind and opted for history instead. And you're doing biology, if I remember correctly.
Yes, although to start with, I couldn't decide between that and geography.
Oh, how much reading have you got? I was given an amazingly long list of books to read. See?
Wow, it does look pretty long.
Well, I counted 57. I could hardly believe it. What is your list like?
Well, it's not as long as yours, but it is still pretty big. There are 43. I don't know how I'm going to get through them all.
Well, you don't have to read them all this week. You just have to stay ahead of the lectures and seminars. Have you got your class schedule yet?
Yep, it came with a reading list. When's your first lecture?
Tuesday. How about you?
The day after. It's my busiest day. I've got 2 lectures in the morning and 1 in the afternoon.
Number 9. You will hear a news report about a storm. Severe storms hit the western areas of the city last night, leaving scenes of destruction and at least 100 homes without power or running water. Dozens of families were left homeless when the roofs of their houses were ripped away. Many of the areas hit were the same ones badly affected by hailstorms last week. In Macquarie Street, the council car park was completely flooded. A Toyota Corolla was badly damaged by floodwaters, which carried the car across the car park and into a large stormwater drain. A separate storm raced through the Federation Botanical Park. It uprooted at least 50 trees. Many of them were over 100 years old. In Menai, several trees were found lying on parked cars, causing an insurance bill that will run into the tens of thousands of dollars. Winds were recorded at speeds of 70 kilometers an hour. There were reports of cars being piled up one on top of the other. In Lucas Heights, a tree fell on a minibus that was taking the local soccer team to training. Luckily, all but the driver escaped serious injury. The driver is in a satisfactory condition at Westmead Hospital. For tomorrow, weather reports predict improved conditions, with clear skies and an expected maximum temperature in the city of 14.
Number 10. You will hear a talk given by the personnel manager of a company. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our organization. Now, you all know which department you are going to, but before you go off, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the rules and regulations which we try to adhere to. The reason why we have these rules is that they help us all to know what we can do, what we must do, and what we shouldn't do, and in the long run make this a happy place to work in. First of all, the flexi-time system. Most of you can choose what time you are going to start and finish. However, you must all be here for core time, which is from 10 till 3. You should all work for a minimum of 37 hours a week, and normally you shouldn't work more than 41 hours. If you look at your job descriptions, you'll see that you should put in an average of 38.5 hours a week. This means you can put in up to an extra 2.5 hours per week. However, at the end of the month, you shouldn't have more than 10 hours overtime because only 10 hours can be claimed. Is that clear? You will have 18 days holiday a year. 10 of these 18 days must be taken during July when the company will be closed. The other 8 days may be taken in either 1 or 2 installments. For example, 5 days and 3 days, or 6 days and 2 days, etc. But you can't have 8 separate single days off or 4 two-day periods off. We have a canteen here where you can have lunch. Lunch tickets are on sale on Monday mornings only, and this means you must buy your tickets then for the rest of the week. The canteen is open between 12:30 and 2 o'clock, and there are 2 sittings. You should decide on Monday which sitting you are going to attend and tell the supervisor when you buy your tickets. So, any questions about these 3 points, flexi-time, holidays, and lunch, before I move on to the next matter?
Number 11. You're going to hear a story about the ancient city of Pompeii. Today, many people who live in large metropolitan areas, such as Paris and New York, leave the city in the summer. They go to the mountains or to the seashore to escape the city noise and heat. Over 2,000 years ago, many rich Romans did the same thing. They left the city of Rome in the summer. Many of these wealthy Romans spent their summers in the city of Pompeii. Pompeii was a beautiful city. It was located on the ocean on the Bay of Naples. In the year 79 AD, a young Roman boy who later became a very famous Roman historian was visiting his uncle in Pompeii. The boy's name was Pliny the Younger. One day Pliny was looking up at the sky. He saw a frightening sight. It was a very large dark cloud. This black cloud rose high in the sky. Rocket ash flew through the air. What Pliny saw was the eruption, the explosion of the volcano Vesuvius. The city of Pompeii was at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. When the volcano first erupted, many people were able to flee the city and to escape death. In fact, 18,000 people escaped the terrible disaster. Unfortunately, there was not enough time for everyone to escape. More than 2,000 people died. These unlucky people were buried alive under the volcanic ash. The eruption lasted for about 3 days. When the eruption was over, Pompeii was buried under 20 feet of volcanic rock and ash. The city of Pompeii was buried and forgotten for 1,700 years. In the year 1,748, an Italian farmer was digging on his farm. As he was digging, he uncovered a part of the wall of the ancient city of Pompeii. Soon archaeologists began to dig in the area. As time went by, much of the ancient city of Pompeii was uncovered. Today, tourists come from all over the world to see the ruins of the famous city of Pompeii.
Number 12. You will hear two announcements. Can I have your attention, please? This is a message for years 7 through 10. Because of the rain, the swimming pool competition will not be held at the Newtown Swimming Pool as planned. It will be held at the Jackson Sports Center. It's about a 15-minute ride. You will be returning to school at 3:15 in time to catch your usual buses home. Now, here's the traveling arrangement for this morning. Year 7 and 8 and your home group teachers are together at the front gate at 9:35. The first four buses will take you there. Years 9 and 10 and their teachers will assemble at the front gate at 9:45. You will go on the last three buses. Cold drinks will be available at the sports center. If you normally order your lunch at the school canteen, please hand in your order to the teacher before 9:30. Your lunch will be delivered at the front gate of the center at 12:30. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard the luxury cruise bus to Dallas, Baton Rouge, and Atlanta. We are scheduled to arrive in Dallas at 1:45 this afternoon. There will be a 15-minute rest stop at that time. We will have a 30-minute dinner stop in Baton Rouge at 6:45 for those of you who are continuing on to Atlanta. We should arrive in Atlanta at 1:45 tomorrow morning. Please remember the number of your bus for reboarding. The number is 3224. This coach is air-conditioned for your comfort. Please remember that smoking of cigarette is not permitted, and the smoking of any other material is also prohibited, as is the drinking of alcoholic beverages. Thank you for traveling with us. Have a pleasant trip.
Number 13. You will hear a talk about the history of newspapers. Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm going to talk about the history of newspapers. When did newspapers come into existence, and what were they like? Anybody knows? Well, the earliest newspapers were recorded to have appeared in Rome in 59 BC as handwritten sheets, which were posted in public places. The earliest printed newspaper was started in China in the 8th century, more than 900 years earlier than in Europe, which had its first regularly published paper in 1609. Unlike the modern paper, the Chinese one was printed from carved wooden blocks and distributed among the people. Newspapers in the English language soon began to appear, first in Amsterdam and then in London, where a weekly paper emerged in 1621, which was followed in 1702 by a daily paper, the Daily Current. In 1690, Benjamin Harris started the first American newspaper, Public Occurrence, both foreign and domestic, which was, however, stopped by the local government after its first issue printed in Boston. 14 years later, in 1704, John Campbell printed the first daily paper, the Boston Newsletter. From then on, publication of newspapers developed rapidly in America. Today, there are about 1,800 daily papers in the U.S., a huge increase from the 30 papers in 1760. Today, the newspaper that has the widest circulation is the Japanese paper, Asahi Shimbun, which sells more than 11 million copies every day. But more people read newspapers in the English language than in any other languages.
Number 14. You will hear a student who is calling the college office for information about courses. Hello, Grab from college. We'll help you.
Yes. I'm looking for information on courses in computer programming. I would need it for the fall semester.
Do you want a day or evening course?
Well, it would have to be an evening course since I work during the day.
Have you taken any courses in data processing?
No.
Well, data processing is a prerequisite course. You have to take that course before you can take computer programming.
Oh, I see. Well, when is it given? I hope it's not on Thursdays.
Well, there's a class that meets on Monday evenings at 7.
Just once a week?
Yes, but that's only 3 hours, from 7 to 9:45 p.m.
Oh, that's all right. I can manage that. How many weeks does the course last?
Let me see. 12 weeks. You start the first week in September and finish just before Christmas, December 21st.
And how much is the course?
That's $300, and that includes the necessary computer time.
Okay. Where do I go to register?
Registration is on the 2nd and 3rd of September between 6 and 9 p.m. in First Auditorium.
Is that the round building behind the parking lot?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, I know how to get there. Is there anything I should bring with me?
No, just a checkbook.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.